Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my right, Bucky himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody.
And across from me, Falcon himself. Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, my name is Marvin. They call me the Red Skull. Welcome to Wednesday Comics, a special edition. What is it, Garrett?
The Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
The Winter Soldier Ultimate Collections. That's issue number 1 through 9 and 11 through 14, written by Ed Brubaker, illustrated by Steve Epstein, Mike Perkins, Michael Lark, and Jean-Paul Leon. Originally, this is actually two trades big. Originally, this collects the Out of Time trade and then the second trade, Winter Soldier. Also, the one issue in between, The Loathsome Death of Jack Monroe. There we go. We got the Ultimate Collection. We read it. A lot of issues. That's probably the biggest book that we've had yet in the book club, I believe.
Yeah, but this actually seemed to be one of the faster ones I read.
A lot of action scenes.
Yeah, a lot of action scenes. That's probably
what I mean, Steve looking out the window.
I think this is bigger than Day Tripper, but Day Tripper's a lot of dialogue and stuff like that. So.
Well, Day Tripper's only 10 issues long. This is 13.
That's what I'm saying. But Day Tripper felt longer. That's what I'm saying.
Because I was crying all the time.
So we get the story of the Captain America. This is, for more than 50 years, the Soviets employed an undercover agent, an unstoppable, untraceable killer known as the Winter Soldier. Who is he? Who knows? This is an action-packed political thriller, whodunit, to figure out who this man is and to stop him. First issue, we start off with Red Skull. And Lucan talking about some sort of trade, the Kamaiko weapons trade, or I guess a sale, whatever you want to call it. And he's showing him some guns, and he sees somebody inside of a container, and he goes, oh, what about this? He goes, how much for this thing? And he goes, well, I would give you that for the Cosmic Cube. And he's like, oh, I don't have the Cosmic Cube, but first off, I wouldn't give you the Cosmic Cube for anything. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to use it for myself. So Sonic kind of sets up, this is in the past. How far in the past again?
This is 5 years ago.
5 years. And then we cut to present day and we see Red Skull in his apartment. Nice suit on. Creepy head. Talking about how he has a cosmic cube, but it's not as strong right now. And so they need to make it stronger so that way he can use it. And then get shot right through the chest. Boom.
Right through the heart.
Pretty big caliber weapon, I think, because it was like a huge hole.
50 cal?
Reminds me of in the actual movie, The Winter Soldier, when Fury gets shot through this, and it's like it looks as big.
Yeah, but he gets shot 3 times in the chest.
Yeah, but he's got body.
And that bitch still comes back.
Whoa, spoilers.
he did the little sleepy death potion thing.
I'm sleeping.
Oh, yeah. So his heartbeat
went so slow.
Yeah. No machines can detect it.
Oh my God! So you know what that means? That Fury is Superman. His heartbeat, 1 beat per
Superman's
hour.
Superman's got a heartbeat.
No, no.
When Superman dies, he slows his heartbeat down. Yeah, so he can hibernate. and then we see somebody grab the cube and say, "Hey, General, I got it. I got the cube." Probably doesn't sound like that, but
I think what's interesting is that spoilers. That's Winter Soldier, by the way. That he actually talks so much. Like, I mean, okay. So I've never read this book prior to watching the movie. This was a giant surprise for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so I went into
What do you mean surprise? What this whole what is about?
The whole okay. I mean obviously I knew it, this is when Captain America, spoilers, finds out who Winter Soldier is. And this is the Winter Soldier gets introduced in this, right? There's never been a prior thing other than when Bucky does stuff with Captain.
Yeah, but, this is the introduction to Winter Soldier, yeah.
But I...
We see Bucky up to like 1948 in comics, and then he disappears until this, so...
That's awesome.
Like, that he shows up in flashbacks, but it's always like in World War II, but he was a character... It used to be a thing that you would say, here's the people you can never bring back. You can never bring back Bucky. You can never bring back Uncle Ben. And people for a while were like Jason Todd. Two of those are back, and one of them. I didn't read that one thing. I don't know if he came back or not. But
which one,
Uncle Ben? Where are they? They were.
Oh
Tony.
Yeah,
did he come back?
As a clone.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the Clone War thing.
Yeah.
So this was the thing where like it was in comics where like you know nobody ever stays dead, but they were always be like, oh, but Bucky, and then he comes back in this. That's why I was such a huge surprise at the time. But like you said, he does talk a lot. He doesn't talk a lot in the movie because I think in the movie you would know right away, be like, oh. That sounds like Bucky.
Yeah.
But in this, right. You can have him talking. It doesn't matter. So
I suppose so. I mean, there's no voice sound. You always see him in the shadow, even when he, well, we'll get into it. But this, like, for me, this book had nothing to do with the Hydra takeover. And I was going to ask you, Marvin, I didn't know if you would know, Garrett, is that Hydra takeover to S.H.I.E.L.D., is that another storyline in a different book? Or is that something that the Russo brothers came up with
that's
for that movie?
That's a movie thing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because, like, as you see in this book, AIM, or I guess AID in this case, is
the big baddies.
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I think something similar happens in Secret Invasion, but it's the Skrulls and not Hydra, so it's kind of similar.
And I mean, Hydra's in this, because isn't Crossbones works for Hydra.
Yeah. So, by the way, Lucan is not, Red Skull's a psychopath. Lucan is more of a man trying to bring Russia back. Because even in the beginning, when the superhero Red Star, I think, right?
Yes. No, Red Guardian.
Red Guardian. He captures him, and he's like, I'm here to bring you back to Russia. And Lucan says, hey, man, like, Russia's gone. I'm trying to help Russia out here. Mother Russia's gone. Who you're working for is not what Mother Russia was about before. So he kills him, and then he's like, hey, bury him like he was one of us. And then let them know where the body is so they can take him. So I thought it was cool. I mean, cool.
He's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy. Do you guys, I might as well bring this up now since we're talking about Lucan. Do you guys know what the tie-in is for this and the new Captain America series you've been reading?
Well, I was going to ask, isn't this Alexander, is it still Lucan or is it someone else?
No, it's the same guy, isn't it?
In the new one, his daughter. That's his daughter, yeah.
Okay.
In that one. Remember that daughter? That
girl we've who they bring him back?
They brought Alexander back from the dead, but we all know it's the other guy.
Kraven.
Not Kraven. Red Skull's under his skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. So what happened?
In Ta-Nehisi Coates' Captain America version, Red Skull is Alexander Lucan.
Okay, but I thought that Red Skull was in... I suppose he got expelled from Xavier's body. Because he wasn't Xavier. No, he had Xavier's brain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. He had the brain.
Numbers. And that wasn't Red Skull. That was Red Skull's clone. So.
So the Red Skull that's dead here is Red Skull.
Yes, it is.
But he was in a clone. He was in a DNA clone body of Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. You see what I'm saying? This shit's crazy.
Anyways, so Sharon comes and says, hey, there's a new program that they have where they pair us up. And I volunteered to be paired up with you. And he says, why? And she goes, because I think anybody else, they'd just be too enamored with you. They wouldn't actually keep you in line. So, and she goes, hey, what's going on? And he says, what? And they cut to a last submission. He goes, you like killed
violent.
Two guys. You broke a guy's face and he's in a coma. You knocked another guy out and hit a van. And now there's 8 people or 7 people injured. There's even a point when he gets one of the guys, doesn't throw him off. He breaks his arm. And then he says, we're on this till the end of the line, because there's a bomb in this train and they're going to, and it's supposed to blow up on Coney Island, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're on here to the end of the line. I'm pretty sure I would survive. How about you? And it's just like, fuck. She's like, what's wrong? Like, you're so being so vicious now. But I mean, prior to this, God, I'm trying to remember. It's been forever. But I believe, shit. Something happens to him before this that he gets really mad about. Like, it has to do with Red Skull and Lucan and all this stuff like that.
Well, the Avengers disbanded right before this.
It doesn't lead up directly to, but right after this is Civil War. And so we're getting to that point when they don't like each other and, like, yeah, there's all this animosity and stuff like that. But also, this arc is called Out of Time. It was originally before it was in this collection. And so also he's dealing with that part of it. And we see a little bit of that in the Avengers movie where he's kind of struggling with that. So he's just having these flashbacks and they're not like 100% true, but he's having a lot of guilt about being around when nobody else is still around. So he does that.
So that didn't come across for me in this one where why he's mad. I just understood that he really is. He's what Bruce was in the Cold Case one.
But if you think about it, so at the end of this issue, if I remember it right, there is like just a guy walking on the street that walks by him. Wait. This is
the first issue.
And this is Red Skull in disguise.
Yeah.
And we all know that Red Skull or what the had, because Red Skull had possession of the cube when he was shot, right?
Correct. And, is in his apartment.
So as we learn later on in this, you know, there's the Cosmic Cube is manipulating Steve. So maybe Red Skull had been at it for weeks, starting to toy with like unlocking things in Steve's mind to make him remember things. And like, this is probably the first signs and symptoms of that, is that he's going apeshit, like apeshit crazy.
Well, I suppose I forgot that. So the one thing I don't understand, and again, this is
because Red Skull is, he knows where Steve is. He's just playing with him. Yeah.
No, and I understood that, because that's what he keeps coming to buy his apartment and stuff, but everyone can seem to touch it without a problem.
Cube. Yeah. You can touch a cube.
So in the movie, it's only...
Yeah, the movies that do that shit. It's not...
Because the cube in here is not actually the space stone.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's Cosmic Cube. That's Cosmic the Tesseract. Cube's thing, yeah. That's not even the Cosmic Cube in the movies. Tesseract.
What? Oh, you're right. But they call it the Cosmic Cube. Or they always call it the Tesseract.
Tesseract, they call it in the movie, yeah.
Okay, but it's a cube.
I remember at one point, I forget which director it was, said that the Tesseract is not the Cosmic Cube. Like, it was a different thing, which turned out to be a gem or a stone, whatever the fuck they call it now.
Which is weird, like in Captain America, because the movie, Red Skull calls it the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, he was tricked.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyways, hey, do you think that'd be cool? Instead of a lock, he does, because he walks, first off, he walks through that hologram wall, and then he does a little retina scan to get up in an elevator to go up to his apartment. Do you want a house that's... hologrammed around to look like a piece of shit warehouse, but it's actually an apartment.
No, because like, what if somebody like just happens to lean up against that wall and they come into this room and then you're like, oh fuck.
They get shot.
Well, then the retina scan. They can't get past the retina scan.
I know, but if I was like Captain America and then I come home and there's some hobo sitting in my hologram hallway, I'd be like, all right, yeah, well, but at least now I gotta throw you out.
He'd still get rained on.
Yeah.
The hologram wouldn't protect you.
True.
And Cap's pretty mad right now, so he'll probably break his face. So.
Yeah.
Shield come
what
to
do you
me.
Think about that, Alex, that fighting in that scene awesome. On the train?
Awesome. That's cool.
Well, I think a part of it for me, though, is that I know I didn't need to read the stuff prior to this, but it would have been nice to kind of understand his demeanor, because this didn't seem like the Cap that normally pulls his punches. This was the guy Shield meet elbow, snap.
Well, that's what Sharon says afterwards. She's like, I always know that you know your strength and you pull your punches, and now you don't care about that. So he broke that guy's face by punching him in the face, and then now he's in a coma. He killed two guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he threw him off the train and didn't care. He destroyed that helicopter, and luckily it landed in the river, she said, and he's like, who gives a fuck? Like, he was he didn't care if it like landed on a building or anything like that. So I thought that's the thing about this, and you see it throughout this issue, and you see it throughout Edward Ricker's run, is that Captain America's fighting throughout this is very realistic. It almost kind of reminds me of Lazarus in a way, Greg Rucka's book. And so when I was reading this, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot Alex is gonna like that kind of fighting.
But even his fighting in Killer Be Killed was logical, realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of it took place with guns and whatnot, but it was still
right.
So we next issue, they go, hey, they wake him up and they said, hey Cap, wake up, Red Skull dead, shot through the heart. And he comes in and he's on a table, which, first off, Red Skull, only his head looks like that. Is that kind of weird? Yeah, you remember seeing his body's normal.
I thought it was always his head was the only thing.
Yeah, so I always thought it was just Red Skull, not red body.
You think the rest of daughter,
his daughter Sin?
Yeah. No,
who's in the Ultimate Avengers one where Hawkeye uses guns? Is that a Red Skull or is that like a clone Red Skull?
In Ultimate Avengers,
yeah.
Well, that's the Ultimate Universe. That's Ultimate Red Skull. Yeah.
So he's got a red body.
Oh, okay. They covered his junk in this one too. By the way,
red junk.
Little lamp over it. But he has a huge fucking hole through him. Like, and he says here, high powered sniper round would have been dead before it hit the floor. And then Steve's like, that's not him. And so they take a DNA swab of Steve to match up because they share some DNA, right? He's like, hey, let me take some of your DNA. That's a fucking huge hole. I can't get over. Do bullets actually make that big of a hole? If you got like
depends on how close he was.
Yeah.
A sniper high powered, you said a 50 cal?
I have a hard time believing that it was a sniper rifle from a distance, because he's behind him when he shot him through the chest.
Yeah, it's something big.
So it could have been a Desert Eagle that, I mean, usually Winter Soldier's only using.
But if it, you know how rifles. Quick Winter Soldier got the cube after he shot him, I mean, he was pretty close when he shot him.
Shot him through the door with a sniper rifle.
So what happens next? They get a little notification, something's happening in the sewers.
I'm gonna catch up so I can look through this book again, because this book is spectacular.
There's a lot of stuff that happens. So I'm cycling through it too, but maybe I should be on my phone because this book's hard to handle. It's
right,
pretty heavy, and I'm trying to. I got to lean back right here. Over you go. Oh, sorry. Now I ran your face. They go down in the sewers, and there's Crossbones. By the way, I wanted to ask you guys. Because we don't want to see much of Crossbones anymore. Is he dead?
No, we saw him in the Punisher series.
Yeah, he was working with Zemo.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since then, though.
But I want to talk about in this series, what do you think of Crossbones in terms of his characterization in this book? It's very violent.
Yeah.
He's violent, but, you know, his story is part C.
Yeah.
Like, the whole buildup of him going to find Skull's daughter is only for a couple issues, and it's not even that pertinent.
And he's kind of like the, I don't know, like the Deathstroke of the Marvel Universe, I would say. And like when it's like when he's on one page, he like steals the show, and he's like, you definitely don't want to fuck with him. That was pretty scary when like Cap is going in, or they're all going in there in the underground, and Crossbones literally just around the corner, and like he doesn't know. Like that was a pretty cool scene.
Yeah, I was just looking at that right now. He's just,
I think Captain killed this dude. They punched in the back of the head.
Of course. It's like,
I mean,
and he goes down
right there on the bottom, just right.
There's
back
no
of the
way
skull.
Any kind yeah. of a punch to the back of the head, even a normal human can kill somebody that way.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I mean, Captain's, and then he killed this dude. They threw a shield at, lit this dude on fire. Then he thinks he's saving him by throwing him to the ground. The dude's burning. What the hell is this?
I mean, he might be burnt. It doesn't mean he's dead. Third degree burns.
He's been burst into flame. I'm pretty sure.
Well, maybe because he.
And then they left him in the corner. Like, eh, these hobos can have some fire.
Oh, I see what you mean.
He's a monster.
And then Crossbones goes out there and he calls somebody. Let's see. It's me. No. We didn't get a call either. But now I know why. Because somebody killed them. I don't know how, but they did. Well, the hell do you think you should do, idiot? Set the freaking timer and call Paris and tell him to do the same thing. He may not be here to see it, but this world's going to burn tonight in his memory. We don't know who he's talking to. Obviously, we know that later on he's probably talking to Bucky. But he's saying, hey, let's finish this shit.
Right. Let's finish this shit. So it could be Lucan, though, too.
I guess, yeah. What do you guys think about this art? Steve Epting does most of it. The flashbacks are, some of them are Michael Lark, some of them are John Ponleone, and then Mike Perkins does some all of the later stuff here, actually.
You know when it snows that it's Lark.
Yeah, you know, baby. I love that snow. Oh, I want to show you guys this. In this book here, they show you Sharon has his car, right? And then that's the car from Agent Shield that, what's his name has?
Coulson?
Yeah, so he stole her car.
Isn't it, not Herbie, but what's the car called?
Delilah?
No,
I don't know what's called.
I thought it started with an H. I thought it was like Hermie or something.
Yeah.
Herbie?
Hermie.
Oh. Anyways, so they go to figure out, they follow the clues. They see AIM. Is, where's this, Paris?
Depends. If you're starting on issue 3, they're down the London Tube system.
That's where I'm at. Okay, London Tubes. He's getting flashbacks all the time. I believe flashbacks, that might be Mike Perkins, especially these ones here. And it keeps misremembering what's going on. And we learn later, he said Cosmic Cubans, in a way to kind of like put more guilt on him, because he keeps seeing scenes of people dying, like he failed everybody. And then later on, it's not in this issue, but later on, he sees like Bucky dying. He's like, no, there's no way it didn't happen that way. Like there's a scene later where Bucky gets gunned down. He's like, no, that didn't happen. That they're purposely making Captain, in a way, having PTSD to like go crazy and be more aggressive. In a way, I think Ed Brubaker, like that's on purpose to kind of tell a story here on how this guy's a soldier and he might feel guilty about this. And even the whole thing, like he does feel guilty about Bucky. If you see from the flashback of what he thinks happened to him, he feels like that's his fault also. So it's not even that these cosmic cubes are making him feel guilty. He felt guilty anyways, and it's just adding on top of it.
Yeah, it's like amplifying it.
So later on, we see this guy in the bar. We see him talking, Jack Monroe. Fucking gets killed and put into a trunk. Sad days.
And then we find, I mean, So I don't know if you knew this, Marv. Like, did you know before reading this that Jack Monroe was a version of Bucky slash, what is it, Guardian? Just regular Guardian? Or what was his name? He's called something else. What was his
name? Scourge.
Scourge, but he was also called one more thing. I guess I know he had three names.
I know you're talking about, though. Yeah, yeah.
When he was in that cape and the yellow, so you knew about him before and stuff? Okay. Because I guess, yeah, you're right. Like, it was just a different version of Bucky.
If you actually go back and like during the time, Bucky does show up a couple more times later on, and so they kind of have to retcon to be like he died there and this was somebody else. Mm. So that's who this is. So
right,
the next issue here we get a scene of Captain punching a bag. You think they took that for the Avengers beginning?
Yeah, man. So
you obviously can tell this is early 2000s, maybe 2005, because Cap has a flip phone. But he's using the camera for video conferencing, so he's like an advanced phone, but it also is an old phone.
Right.
So that's kind of weird there. Jared, what do you think overall? Like, when we're going through this book here, did this, because like Alex was saying, when he read this, he was kind of comparing it to the movie, and he realized it was way different. Which I think, if you go back in this episode, I've talked about it multiple times that it is very different, and mainly what they only take from here is the Bucky kind of stuff. Other than that, like, the plot's not the same. Did you enjoy the way this went, or did you felt like it should have been more like the movie?
I enjoyed this. You know, I read this before the movie came out.
Nomad,
that's what it was. It is good. There's an issue we're going to talk about here shortly that I literally had to stop halfway because I was kind of bored. Once we get there, about something we just mentioned.
What is it? I mean, we're going to go issue.
Oh, sorry. Okay, okay, cool.
So big.
The Ballad of Jack Monroe, like that whole issue his. I was like, man, this is a lot of exposition about a character I really don't care about.
It was interesting,
right?
But it really didn't serve a purpose for me, especially since that could have been dropped since it's not about him,
right?
Other than him being shot.
But so that I was just like, okay, I get it. Like, he feels bad that the actual Bucky never got his day, and then it's ironic that Bucky's the one that actually killed him to blame for this whole thing. I do like that the Cosmic Cube plays a bigger role in this. Like, I think that's cool, because I hate that, you know, it's hard not to compare these to the movies, but in the movies, a lot of the cool weapons of the MCU, they're like one and done. So we use them, never see them again. Yep. And it's like, not that I want them to have the same weapon over and over and over again.
They usually get like destroyed by the heroes, where in the comics, they're just like, oh, where'd it go?
Right. Like, someone else has that come back to play later, you know? I also thought Bucky... Like, so we find out that, like, Cap finds out who Bucky is, like, issue 11. Issue 12, he's trying to find Bucky. And then that's at the end when Falcon and them are about to get shot, or might be into 13. And literally we see Bucky for one issue. And so, like, I think that's what Winter Soldier, the movie, did really great, is it fleshed out that relationship between Bucky and Steve, plus, like, the Civil War movie. And this, like, I'm sure there's fallout from this trade after, because I'm sure, is there another volume?
This? And there's more after this.
Yeah.
Bucky actually kind of, like, feels so guilty, he kind of disappears a little bit, but then he comes back around the end of Civil War.
Okay. So, in that instance, like, you know, if this was a contained story from beginning to end, then I'd be like, wow, it's kind of a bummer that they literally, like, Steve has that confrontation with Bucky, and then Bucky at the end is just like, okay, well, let's not talk about this. Let's not figure out this.
Does Captain realize it's Bucky prior, or it's everyone telling him that it's Bucky?
At first, it's everyone telling him it's Bucky, and then it takes him reading that file.
Right. He reads the file that tells him that they captured him and did all this stuff to him.
I got a question for you guys. So in the comics, they asked, you know, that file was just magically on his desk. Do you think that was the Cosmic Cube? Because there was no security. To break down the
maybe it was that hobo.
Yeah. To break down like the barrier of the spoiler thing, like here's a big spoiler. At the end, we see that Alexander Lucan has Red Skull trapped inside him, like the original Red Skull. Mm-hmm. Which is why he would know that the clone Red Skull had the Cosmic Cube. So I think that, like, Red Skull Like, I can't believe he knew how much about Bucky. Like, I don't know where he'd get that information, but I guess, wait, you know.
Who, Red Skull?
Yeah.
He knows because him and he's a fight cat back in World War II with Bucky.
Right. But, like, how would he know that Bucky's still, I guess, Lucan's the one that's working
on. Yeah. So, hang on. When Winter Soldier, this is the original Skull in him.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lucan. Okay. So, I'm still missing, stuff from a prior story.
Yeah.
Of when Lucan.
I'm sure there's a prelude issue explaining or something that happens that Lucan and Red Skull became one.
Ed Brubeck took over. They kind of relaunched it from Cap 1. But there's before that. I think. Maybe that was before.
Because I misunderstood. I thought, Winter Soldier killed him, and then the dead soul flew over to Lucan. Well, that one made sense because Lucan wasn't there to even acquire it. Okay.
I also did like the Cap using the Cosmic Cube to make Bucky remember all his memories instead of, I laugh in the Winter Soldier movie where they're fighting each other and he's just like, you know me. And he's like, no, I don't.
I'll be with you to the end of the line. That's like,
clicks.
That's the one thing in this. I think it does better. Yeah, the Cosmic Cube, of course, you'd be like, unlock your memories. Be like, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
But another one. Like, if you're brainwashed to a point in the movie where he was, a phrase's not going to bring you back. Like,
Yeah, but I mean, like, even in the book and both in the movie, he questions what he's doing. I mean, after a while, after being out of the stasis, then he goes, am I doing the right? Not necessarily am I doing the right thing, but he starts questioning the orders. It makes sense that
he's more kind of like a mindless soldier in the movie. Like, he really just, and he's just on the track and he comes back. And this one, he kind of is just like, he is awakened like a different person, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right, because they don't bring him back every night to restasis him or reset him.
Right.
Not every night, but he's been back in stasis every once in a while. So that's why he's only aged like 10 years since Captain saw him last. And even though it's been 70 years, yeah. Sharon later on goes and checks on something here. I forget. Gets into an apartment. And Jack Monroe, she sees his body. And she gets a backhand knockout. Can you knock somebody out that way?
Isn't it Winter Soldier who knocks her out?
Yeah. But who knows when...
We find out later that haymaker they threw at Captain should have killed him. I'm Captain America, bitch. It doesn't happen.
The part that gets me is, how does Sharon recognize that that's Bucky?
Does she? What does she say?
Well, like, you don't see until issues later where she's fine.
Him. Yeah, I saw Bucky.
He just says wrong door and she goes, what? That's all she says. I don't think she recognizes him.
Bucky. Well, no, she doesn't recognize him there, but after the fact.
Oh.
Bucky RKOs her. And
maybe she read up on it afterwards.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, she fucking gets smacked in the face and gets knocked down here. So anyways. What is she? Oh, then we get the sweet issue, Mike Clark, baby. This is what I'm talking about. I saw, when I first read this and I saw this, I was like, this looks so good. I think this is my first Michael Clark that I saw. And guy's been doing great work since Lazarus.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think the first time I saw him was the Secret Avengers.
The one you didn't like?
Yep. The one that I think is shit.
This.
Now when I reread it again, best thing I ever read.
What else did he do?
Coleslaw.
He didn't do something else that we read? Lazarus, Secret Avengers.
Old Guard.
Old Guard. No, that's not him.
No, I'm thinking Rucka. Sorry.
Anyways.
Yeah, what else does he do? Gotham City or Gotham Central.
Yeah. So we get this little sweet little backstory of World War II thing with Bucky. What do you guys think about this?
I did think that was the best issue this whole trade. It really touches into why Steve and Bucky have this relationship and
I'm going to look at the comic on my phone because I'm trying to read the actual paper thing and it's so fucking heavy, dude.
I think that issue was great, though. It's like Steve remembering one of his best friends that he worked with in the war. And for him, those memories are still fresh for Steve. So it's very emotional. And him coming to grips with, no way could my Bucky be this guy. There's no way.
The Bucky I knew would never be this. Although the nice thing that they show with this Bucky is that Bucky was so formidable beforehand, before he became Winter Soldier. I mean, he really got his hands dirty, killing everybody.
Cap's general or whatever that was telling him that he's going to have a partner. he was like, well, he can kind of get do some more of the dirty stuff that you can't well, in the public eye.
Yeah, that's the kind of that's a retcon from Brubaker that so originally Captain America, like Bucky, joins him because Bucky walks into a tent one day and sees Steve putting the Captain America suit on. He goes, "I won't tell anybody if you make me your sidekick."
She's got a black belt.
And so that's how Bucky. And Bucky's just a kid. Yeah. He helps him out, but he's just a kid. And then in this one, they kind of retcon it that he was like this 21. Guy. He was like a tough guy. He was like he sold cigarettes for money and stuff like that. And then they trained him to be like this fucking killer, like you said. So that way you can't have Cap be a killer, so you make the kid the killer. Because right. Nobody's going to suspect the kid. And so he was kind of, in a way, even in the flashback, out of his own choice, but in a way not really because he's a kid. They kind of like the Americans kind of brainwash him to be this killer. And then now you have him as a bunch of soldiers and the Russians do it. And it's kind of a way to look back and be like, well, what's the difference? Like, they made him a killer, and he killed a bunch of Nazis and later on a bunch of Russians. And so, I mean, it was the same thing. The only difference is that for the American one, they were like, you're doing good for your country, and he believed in that. So, which, I mean, might be justified, but still, they made him a killer. So he was a kid.
Yeah, so. But he was 21. I mean,
that's a kid, baby!
Garrett's a kid compared to you.
He is a kid.
But like, I'm looking at this.
26,
this.
Bitches.
But I'm watching it, so you get to see Bucky's going through the barbed wire, sneaking up on, I assume they were Nazis, weren't they? Just chucks a knife right in the spine. Dude's already dead.
I'm pretty sure they're Nazis because we get this guy with a huge swastika on his chest.
Oh, yeah. what was his name? Mega Bitch or something?
What was it? Masterman.
What a ridiculous
Hitler's
name.
Hitler's personal super soldier. Do you know German? What does this mean?
I don't know.
What's he saying?
Where wag is mine?
Where is mine? Ruha zu storen.
Gonna have to ask Google Translate on that one.
Okay. I love this whole scene. This is like Invaders kind of stuff. You got Human Torch. You got
Namor.
Namor. God, that's so good.
Who's the other fire chick? My fire person.
Tauros. Yeah. Human Torch's sidekick there. And then you got Red Skull. Red Skull also has a swastika on his. That's the only thing about the Winter Soldier movie and Captain, even the first Captain movie, that I like, it kind of bothered me that in a way they kind of erased that they were Nazis, right? There's no swastika.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is Disney, so.
But I mean, still, if you're going to make him bad guys that were Nazis, like, make them Nazis. Why are you whitewashing
true.
Him? Yeah, but they washed it by being, they were Nazis, but they were the science part of the Nazis. So they went.
And then Red Skull betrays them. But he's always been just a Nazi. Yeah. But in the movie, they had him betray him so that way he wasn't a Nazi.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, he's worse than the Nazis in that movie, so.
This weapon is ridiculous, by the way.
the laser thing?
Yeah, this laser thing cuts through buildings, people. I actually half expected that Captain would use his shield to block it.
It doesn't look super accurate either. That thing's all over the place.
It's like watching Thor throw thunder and
it's
lightning.
It's like the Ghostbuster gun thing. It's like...
Oh, yeah. Red Skull's just having, like, fucking shooting
fuck
practice.
Fuck everybody!
Yeah.
My people, your people, everybody's people.
And we see... Luke in there.
Lucan's the kid now.
The kid, and the older guy is kind of, who is it, Alec?
It's Vasilov Karpov. Yeah. Vasily Karpov.
Oh, that's right. So we see Alec, his mom dies, and that's where he kind of recruits him. So,
boy, let me show you how to be Russian. In Russia.
Alec's depressing.
Alec, that's my name. That's you, Alex?
That's me.
You think Red Skull looks over and was like, I'm going to be inside you someday.
Oh, they took him away.
That's my laser gun.
That's my laser gun.
That man they took. He'll be inside. The Victor's like, what the fuck's going on? All right, you can stay your kid. And then he walks away. Come with me, Alec. I'll take you back to Stalingrad and show you what it truly means to be Russian. You've already learned the hardest part, so there we go. And then later we get him talking to Nick Fury, and there's that file we're talking about. So, what do you guys think about Nick Fury? Do you guys read a lot of Nick Fury?
Nope. I thought he's okay. I know that's like your favorite Nick Fury.
I was about to lounge over this Fucking tape? What do you mean?
I would say in this that it seems like we couldn't really see a lot of his strengths because there was so much like political red tape that he couldn't do anything. Like the one op they had where they were going to storm in and get Lucan, and then there was like a U.S. official there. That's like one of his bosses, and they're like, yeah, stand down, motherfucker. Like, even to the point where they're like, Cap, you have to apologize to this guy. Like, else you're losing your job.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
that's Fury, baby. He's Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Fury backs down.
But the only thing is that, unfortunately, Samuel L. Jackson does a good job being a badass motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
That this specific Fury doesn't seem to be as all-knowing as what the movies look
like.
Can
I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Now that you brought up that Nick Fury, after I just watched Spider-Man, by the way. Mm-hmm. Spoilers for Spider-Man Far From Home, if you haven't seen it. I just watched it, so I had a question. So that last scene when Nick Fury, we find out that the Skrulls are impersonating Hill and Fury. So are we to believe that they've been those people the whole time, or just recently?
The whole
just
movie.
Just, no, I mean just for that movie.
Yeah,
just that movie.
Just that yes. movie.
Not in the past. Like right. The past was actually
yep,
them.
They specified it was a... just this movie. Oh. So, because everyone was like freaking out, like, oh my God, the whole Skrull movie series invasion. Is over. Yeah.
So, just they wanted a reason why those two would be dumb and not know how to do their jobs.
Yeah. Right. And obviously, Nick Fury's in space for some space, reason.
Space. Oh, space. It's a pretty big ship. It's a Kree ship, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Maybe Captain Marvel 2?
Well, a lot of people think it is Nova because they gave credit to Nova in the end credit scroll.
What scroll?
Like the title, the end scroll. Credit scrolling. Scroll. Sorry, scroll, not scroll. Scrolls.
Scrolling text.
Scrolling text. They said Nova created by blah, 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 like whoever created Nova. It's like, he wasn't even mentioned that entire movie.
Here's some more Nazi propaganda. On that cover.
I have that covered, actually.
And so then the next issue, we see somebody, once again, like Alex said, this whole thing, you never see his face. But he does talk a lot. Opens up his trunk, and there's Sharon.
He does talk a lot.
And also Jack's on against the wall with a lot of bombs on him, I think. Is that what it's supposed to be? I forgot.
Looks like a cell phone bomb.
Yeah.
Then they're a hell carrier, and they got a lot of flying cars up there, guys. They got a red one. They got a Aston Martin. What do you call it? Aston Martin. We got a convertible. Oh, and we got this guy in a convertible. Is he down there looking for Captain America? Yes, sir. No, he's got enough on his mind right now. That's Nick Fury, by the way. He doesn't even know she's missing, and I'd like to find her before he has to be told. By the way, Fury's face, and this is Aptin, changes a bunch of times in here.
Ooh, it could be Chameleon.
Sometimes he has a strong chin. Sometimes the chin's not as strong. Oh. So I think it's just an artist thing. He goes to the that castle in which we saw in that flashback to relive his memories. Then he finds out, guess what, guys? More Nazis. They're still in there. So he's doing a flashback. So
he's fighting fake things.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really cool scene where he like beats the shit out of like something and then there's nobody there.
Yeah, he goes through the wall. Yeah, it's just like nobody's here. And he just sits there. Then the guy that took him there on the plane is like, "Hey, we're ready to go." Like he's been fucking wrecking shit in there for whatever.
Shit in this building.
He probably was like, "Oh, don't tell him. This guy's crazy." He's coming in a suit. Like he's got wings on his head and stuff like that. So, what do you guys think of that suit, Captain America? Classic. I like the classic suit.
I do like that suit.
It only works in the comics, though.
Yeah,
it I feel like work. On screen it looks dumb, but in the comics it looks good. I don't know what it is.
I just think someone hasn't been able to tackle it on screen yet.
I think it would depend on if you, as long as you didn't make the wings look like they were wings, like little flappy things. They were like a metal,
right?
It'd look fine.
I could see it like you could do that to the Cap suit, but don't like actually make the like I know it looks like feathers, but don't actually make them feel and be feathers. Like just having the appearance, like the little like semicircles,
yeah,
like that would be cool.
He finds out that Sharon is kidnapped, so he's like, fuck this shit. He calls Fury and he goes, hey. Sharon's captured. He's like,
oh, you were supposed to know about that.
He's at a desk, like Garrett was saying. He's at a desk again. He's got a pen in his hand. He's just doing paperwork.
From this panel, I'm sorry. From this panel, you talked about Fury looking different. So you look at this one, mm-hmm. strong. He's got a strong face. This one, he's double chinning it up and
he's pretty fat.
Looks strong. Less strong.
Hey, man. He's trying to read.
I mean, I got double chin. I get that.
He's got a hard life. He's doing paperwork after hours.
Look how
dark it is outside. The guy's still at work.
And yeah, he's thinking about us. We'd be burned out with two eyes. He's only got one.
He's trying to read all these documents. He's just like,
God, my death perception's horrible.
This guy got to do to get some glasses around here.
Yeah, but he'd only have a monocle. So.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at his desk. And behind his desk, there's stacks of papers. Like, and he's in the conference room. He's not even in his office.
Yeah, wear those white gloves all day.
So Steve jumps down. He gets a visual on it, kicks some ass, and you know what? Save Sharon right away. But guess what? Trap.
Okay. His lead-in attack is to dive bomb and punch these guys in the face. I'm sorry. I would have been leaning down on my feet instead.
Well,
I know it's Captain.
If you're Cap, say, if you're Cap, you go for the fist.
I mean, obviously, when you jump out in the movie, you don't have a parachute. When you jump 400 feet off the place, you're just like, fuck it. I'll land in the water and climb up and kill everybody.
It's just my legs.
This did make me laugh, though. This one guy's like, yeah! That's the sound coming from when he shoots his gun at Cap.
It's like that girl from Diamonds Are Forever, where she's holding the machine gun.
And then he gets smacked in the head by the shield.
That's the first one to get in the head is that dude making annoying sounds.
Cap's like, shut the fuck up. And they save Sharon, and then guess what? Oh, you're right. She goes, I think it's Bucky. Yeah. And he looks up, or he's like,
how the fuck do you know who Bucky is?
And then they kind of show his face for the very first time. And you know what? He's still wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. The thing around his eyes, you think he would have taken that off?
I think that was Red Skull / Lucan / their idea.
Oh,
because he's like an American son. That's why they did the star, because it was like, you know, in the Russian flag, it's like the hammer and sickle in front of that red star. But he's like, well, the American sun, it'll be the biggest insult.
Well, I see why he still like wears them. His eye mask.
Yeah.
And then the bomb goes off, guys.
Kills.
Kaboom.
Kills Sharon's. Sharon's got a lot of exes. She's got Cap as an ex. She's got Agent Tapper as an ex. I'm like, geez. Agent maybe, 13. You got to.
Maybe Red Skull's doing him a favor. Red Skull's actually his buddy. He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
He goes down there and he goes, don't tamper with this. Blows him up. And then he's like, he calls him later. Hey, Steve, took care of him for you. So you'll get her back. Don't worry about it.
I don't like. So there's a artist choice is the, I don't know what you want to call it. This cord coming from Winter Soldier's arm that bothers me. I mean, I realize it looks like it's.
Are you sure that's not just the strap for his rifle?
Because it plugs into his armpit.
Oh, into his vest. Well, I don't like that either. Wow, you just ruined it for me.
Sorry. Thanks.
Hey, man, Winter Soldier bullets.
Maybe you're right, because then when I look at this one, it looks like it goes past his wrist.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a strap.
Maybe I'm being too picky, but on this one, it doesn't look like
a strap. Go forward and look at this panel. Fury back at the desk. Cup of coffee.
Guy never fucking moves. He's got the life.
He's looking at pictures. He's like, damn it, how can I miss it all these years? It's just like,
there's one time he's talking to a soldier and he's like, don't forget to call me sir. Check yourself. Oh, sorry. I was just constantly at your desk. So I just was hoping that.
So you're being a lazy pile of shit.
I'm surprised you're walking right now. I mean, and he could have just been sitting. So
it's funny. Tapper. He's just looking at the bomb. I think I could disarm it, sir. I just... oh, shit. Like, right away. He doesn't even get a chance. So this blows up. If Fury's like, driver, Tapper. And it's just like, he's at his desk, though, by the way. He starts to get up.
Yeah, look at him. He's like, fuck, I'm going to get out of this chair.
He does one of those things, you know, when somebody's asking, do you something, you go, me? Oh, okay. And you start getting up. That's what he's doing. But, he did it for a second, then he realized... Tapper's crossed down. I don't got time.
Tapper's dead. Doesn't matter now.
Because I guarantee he sat down right away. He made a phone call. Hey, something happened out there.
You know, even the chat between Sharon and Captain, though, was like, yeah, no, not this. Oh my God, Steve. He's dead.
So eventually, Nick Fury, not only does he send in Falcon, he called Falcon from his fucking desk and said, hey, Cap needs a friend. Come chill out with Cap. Mm-hmm.
Well, we get to the issue that you didn't care for.
The interlude is in between this.
Yeah, fuck that. That issue's so boring. I was like, okay.
The art also I don't enjoy during that part. I'm not sure who that is. That might be Leon.
Is that Leon?
Yeah, it might be.
There's things that were interesting about it, but I didn't need it. I needed more Winter Soldier showing up. Also, Winter Soldier never uses that machine gun. Bothers me.
And we get a little tiny scene of Iron Man in there.
It's on his arm. It's his arm that has that weird cord.
Really? Yep. Okay. Well, weird.
Yep. Around the cover, is that what you're looking at?
Yep.
Okay.
Here, it actually shows a strap here, so it's different. There's a strap.
I hate it.
It goes around his wrist into the back of his arm. What's that for, you think? Hydraulics?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It must be the hydraulic fluid for it. Until he gets his sweet vibranium.
Why is it on his wrist, though?
Gotta be able to use that wrist
really well. Probably, maybe that's what needs to make sure he can get that rifle. Why can't he use the other arm to shoot the gun? Because I wouldn't be Winter Soldier enough.
Because I'm left-handed.
I always want to know how he gets his arm to work.
You know what? This art is not arm. Some of these pages are fucking beautiful, dude. Like, if we go to the next kind of scene, it actually is, it's not right away next, but in the next kind of issue, there's a scene with a bunch of fire and he's saving these people, and then people from AIM show up.
Excuse me.
Oh, that's what they're talking about the night before.
Hey, what'd you guys think of that scene, though, where they fight the MODOK?
Good.
Yeah, that was cool that it was like soldiers instead of like actual MODOK.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's a cool scene. The fighting, especially, like, that's the scene I watched. I was reading and I was like, Alex is going to like this. Like, look at this, right through the back of the fucking head. He kills this guy by doing that.
It's a robot, though. So at least in that case, it's not like fucking human beings.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing is that it's nice to see that Captain gets hurt, though, because he does get stabbed in the side. And he just pulls it out and chucks it at somebody else. Mm-hmm.
This is the scene, though, when he's doing this, when he sees Bucky and he says, Bucky, and he goes, who the hell is Bucky?
Yeah.
That happens in the movie, right? That line?
Yep.
Right.
When they're fighting in the city.
Yeah, so that's where that line's taken from in the movie, so... then we get a couple scenes. Hey, Nick Fury out of his desk, walking around. So, we get a cool little shield tour. Why don't they wear these suits in the movie?
Too skin tight.
a lot of straps. They got a lot of straps, a lot of pouches, white gloves, like you were saying before there, Garrett. But now we see this is the Winter Soldier Part 1 where they kind of show how they recovered his body and... how it happened. I do like that kind of... Usually I'm like, don't need to explain it, I got it. But that actually, I think, adds to it, that this man, like what he's gone through, and he was basically left for dead after that thing exploded, and they took him, and it needed to be done. For a character that's been gone for 70 issues, it needed to be done for 70 issues. So,
because he did actually die, didn't he? He froze to death. And then
he preserved Harpy.
Preserved. And so that's why when they brought him back, when they gave rhythm back to his heart, they had to do it as if he had just died.
Yeah. Okay. So
it depends on what you consider dying.
Like, he's dead. He lost consciousness.
Yeah.
And was frozen.
Can
solid.
We say though, in this panel, Cap looks fine. And then we go next one. It looks like his hairline goes back a little bit.
Yeah. He got a receding hairline.
Yeah.
But it's the same problem he has in the next page.
You know what I find kind of in the new series, I think it's less with Francis
Lionel Francis Yu.
Yeah, I think his art is less jarring. When you go back to Epstein, the way he draws Cap, Cap used to be like this like buff, square face, square jawed kind of guy, almost like a football player, like a lineman. And now after Chris was captain, they make him more slimming and more like this, like all-rounded, kind of like almost like a runner's body in a way, maybe a swimmer's body, I'll say. So it's kind of weird seeing Cap being like this hulky kind of guy, being like
brick house.
He told you.
Hey, they go to his apartment, Sharon and him. She lets him in. He says, "Hey, don't hold up, just walk through the wall." Fuck. And then he scans her in. You don't think it's the security? He goes, "Access granted, Steve Rogers." But then she just walks in. Like, it doesn't say, "Hey, who the fuck are you?" coming in after. You're piggybacking on me getting inside here. So, the next scene, this scene I do love, Alex. I wanted to, they kind of have this in Civil War a little bit. It reminds me of it. It's not one for one the same, but in the next one, they, Cap, Fury finally gets out of his fucking desk and he finally pulls out his gun.
No, he's still sitting.
Yeah, but you know, can't get up all the time. What kind of gun is this, by the way? Look at this thing. It's like a...
It looks like a harpoon gun.
And it almost looks like a... I think it's meant to be an assault rifle, but it almost looks like a
What's that thing at the end?
Jailbreak a shotgun.
What's the thing at the, below the muzzle? What is that?
Flashlight.
Oh. So Cap, Sharon, and a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. people, including Nick Fury, go and try to break in. What's this place again?
It's like the base.
This is where...
Where are we going?
The Alexander's there, and it's kind of like a lot of... And they're dealing with the what you said before, like the American guy, and like, oh, yeah, everything here is being done okay. It's like politicians kind of meeting on the thing. Yeah. But they were like, hey, he's fucking in here. Let's take him out.
Fury just like waves his gun in the air. Better go sit down.
I don't think Fury does anything in these...
No, he gets told, he gets ordered to stand down.
No, but I mean, in the fight, I don't think he actually takes a shot.
No.
And his gun keeps changing. No, see, now the one thing is that...
Oh, no, excuse me. He does come out of the plane, guns blazing. But who knows who he's shooting at, you know?
But then when you look at this one, he's got his little...
pistol?
Yeah, he's got his little pistol out.
Yeah, you know, you got two guns. So you're right. This is the scene where Garrett was talking about before where they're like, actually, Captain, you're leaving after you apologize to Mr. Lucan. He goes, what? Steve, come on, let's go. We lost this one. I'm still waiting, Captain. Then you can wait till hell freezes over. You can tell your boss I'm disappointing in him. The United States, of course, formally apologizes for this incident, Alexander. I can't imagine what got into them, but I assure you there will be consequences. I hope so.
The one thing that kind of blows my mind, it's the right move to make, but Captain throws that shield at everybody's head.
He does, at everybody's head. It's never anything else. He doesn't take him out by the legs. He doesn't take it like gut shot to like knock the wind out of them. And
hey,
he's
trying to get shit done quick right now.
Yeah, but
there's got to be concussions, dude.
This dude's got a broken jaw. I mean, you know, it met him right here, square on the jaw. He shattered this. Went to the next guy, broke that dude's jaw.
He's just doing it like Batman. You'll get up and live.
I was watching. Speaking of which, I was watching a show, The Righteous Gemstones, on HBO, and there's this like thing that's like this big. What would you say? How long is it? 6 inches?
Yeah.
And it's like a thin, and it's like metal. And in the show, they're like, they bought it for self-defense. And it's supposed to be like, you can use it to do pressure points. And like, and in the show, he breaks some guy's jaw by hitting him like right here. And then the guy like puts his jaw back into place. Can you do that?
Not necessarily. It depends on how you broke it. If you broke the hinge part or your joint there, probably not.
But how, you'd have to be super accurate to break that piece. I mean, you could knock it out.
Can you knock your jaw out of place?
Oh, yeah. You can dislocate it.
Oh, okay. You can dislocate it. That's probably what
you do. As if it wasn't a stiletto to stab somebody. You're just using it to get forced to break something.
Yeah, it's not like a knife. It's just like a rounded. Cap shield goes at you. Does that break your jaw or is it dislocated?
It breaks your fucking neck and your
Say, at his strength,
there's no way.
What strength do you think he's throwing that thing at?
But like, you can see that he pulls it back though. Like if I think about like the Marvel movies, you can kind of see how it flies. Like it's like a very light attack. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's chucking it hard.
So this one, like the way it shows here, he's thrown it from behind him straight forward at you. I'm guessing even if it does that little bit of twist there, it's gonna. He's maybe 40 feet away, if even that. That dude's killing people.
That's got to kill you. This shield can stop bolts, dude. It's the hardest metal in the world, next to adamantium.
Wasn't it a mix? Isn't it an alloy adamantium vibranium mix?
Yeah. In the movies, it's just vibranium or whichever one Marvel has. I guess they have both now. Be like, oh wait, we actually have both.
Here it is.
Oh, Cap, here's a guy that's like you, and we didn't know about him, and he actually has metal on his body that's like your shield. What the fuck?
I took a what?
That's why it took so long to make you a new shield.
I'm a little man now. How is this going to help me now? Do you think he dies as an old man in those movies? Or is he going to stick around? Is Chris going to be in those movies as an old man? Or is he not going
to
be around?
I think he has potential to make a cameo in that new Winter Soldier and Falcon, but I don't think he's going to actually die.
Is Peggy dead? In that future?
Yeah.
Because she does die in the
At
other
that
one.
Point, she's dead already.
Because she's older than him, so he would have passed away.
Yeah.
I would deep down inside assume that the next big threat when Kang the Conqueror shows up, because it is Captain who started this problem, that he's going to become young Captain one more time to fix his problem.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Time travel. They go back, and it's actually him.
I think Chris is like, hey, give me 10 years to do some other shit. And I'll think about it, and then they'll bring him back. I mean, that's one of the big things. They're either bringing Robert Downey Jr. or Cap back. I don't think they'll bring Robert Downey Jr. back ever. But Cap, could you imagine like 10 years from now, they're like Captain America 4. everyone would lose their fucking minds.
Everyone would lose their mind, but the only problem is then that Chris Evans would be, and I mean, the man is obviously in supreme shape.
Right.
That it wouldn't be that big of a deal for him to come back at 44 or 42.
Hey, Robert Downey Jr. started at like 40.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying that, I mean, a lot of the time, how much physical work did Downey have to do? I know he worked out. I get that. I know he was in good shape.
So he's a little bit older.
He doesn't take off his shirt, though.
Huh?
And the first movie he kind of does.
Yeah, he does. When Potts is digging in his chest to grab something.
Well, they haven't announced the whole run of this phase yet. So
I know, and we'll find
maybe
out.
At the end of this phase. It's
How old do you think Chris Evans is?
36.
Garrett?
Yeah.
I think he's younger than my sister, but older than me.
I would say 33.
38.
Okay.
He just had a birthday in June. Happy birthday. Next, we kind of get... well, there's a little scene with Crossbones that kidnaps that lady and throws a knife in some guy's back at the secure government re-education facility just outside of Reno, Nevada.
Isn't that Sin? That's Skull's daughter, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is. Erica Holster. Yep, it is. And then we get the little nice flashback of what happened to Bucky. This is what I was talking about. I like the way this is set up. It's in a way, it looks like kind of like a document, but they also get these flashbacks of what happened to him, how they brainwashed him and all the shit he's done. So you get context for how they used him, where he's been. Like, it's a nice way of doing that without a lot of exposition. It's like it's showing you, but also it's like in terms of like a file. I like the way they did that. It's a nice little technique. And you can't do that in movies. That's a comic thing you can do.
I always like the Winter Soldier mission report. Algeria won April 56. Objective was French defense minister. Showing him who he's killed, when he did it, last time they thought he had been seen.
I thought it would have been cooler if they did more Marvel comic universe people. Like people in the past. Because there's so many characters all over Marvel history. That would have been cool if they had like...
Big kills.
Just throw a couple interesting kills in there. Not just random politicians, you know.
God's good cover.
Yeah, it is good.
You know, later, I'm looking ahead here. Later in the next issue, Fury shows up. He's wearing his outfit still, but he has a jacket over it. You don't think that thing's warm enough? That suit?
He's being incognito. He's got
to
stay hidden.
Well, when you sit that much, you don't get as much blood flow to your body, so you get cold.
The next issue does start with him sitting on the couch.
Jesus, I can't even. Like, Nick Fury, what do you do, man? Is this like your last year, or what's going on?
He's like, oh, well, yeah, what do you say? You got no idea where this came from?
Yeah. About to get replaced?
Well, I got a pretty decent idea.
Gonna get replaced by my illegitimate son? Never gonna see me again?
And I'm gonna be a watcher. No, he does get up. And he walks to the kitchen. So.
He's like, better get another cup of coffee so I can sit for another 8 hours. Yeah.
No, he goes in there and he leans against the counter.
Lazy as fuck. Like, I don't get it.
Why is an old man? I guess Cap is doing away.
Yeah, but the weird thing is that, like, you see him, Fury, when you do the, was a Fury Max, and he's, what, 30 when he's in Vietnam. Here, he's maybe 50 years old. The Punisher is the same age, does way more activity. Of course, he's out killing everybody.
But... Alex, tell him what happens here. Falcon and Iron Man show up, and what happens? What do they do?
See, now, I'm confused. I thought that Avengers disbanded.
They disbanded doesn't mean they don't like each other.
The homies? Okay.
Yeah.
So Falcon shows up. He goes, hey, Cap, I heard you might need a friend. I sure do. I sure do. And we show up to, we're making a plan. We're going to go save Bucky. Go to a warehouse.
And Falcon's like, what? Who?
What? Who are we saving? Who? Your best friend? Fuck that. We're not saving your friend.
I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him.
By the way, you look at Falcon's outfit there. You think that works in the movies if they ever did that? Nah, you like the way they went military?
I mean,
style?
How could you do that? The shield in the middle of his headband. Like, that's just like...
I think everything else is fine. I think if you were just to take out the golden shield thing that's in between his eyes,
I think
it'd be fine.
They need more white in his actual suit in the movies. Then it'd be fine. There's no kind of hit back to the white and red.
Yeah.
Like he always does. So, by the way, everyone's killing everybody in this warehouse. Bad guy tries to get in a mech suit, and I'm like, yeah, bitch, please, back off. We're fighting everybody. Boom. Guess what happens? The dude in the damn mech suit gets up with a mech suit, blows Iron Man away. Iron Man's like, oh, man, watch out, Cap. It's coming for you. Laser beam into the shield. And then they tell Falcon, hey, go go get our guy.
No, get us an ice cream. We got this.
I feel like the whole comic up to this point is like a political thriller, and then this is kind of superhero stuff. Like this is.
But I did like that. This is not our, you know, like how Iron Man is always matching the movie version. This is like pre Iron Man fame, Tony Stark, which is cool.
His favorite line from Iron Man was when he stomps the guy in the mech suit and he goes, "Clearly, that's not a toy, moron." I was like, oh, that's nice. You didn't make some quippy joke. You were literally just calling this guy an idiot.
Well, that's how Tony used to be. He wasn't quippy.
He used to be an asshole.
Yeah, he was just an asshole. Like a smart, arrogant guy.
Because then when they get, after they do some ass kicking, then they go and talk to Stark and Falcon and Captain going, hey, we're going to go do this next mission to go attack Coronas. And Tony's like, I can't. I almost lost my company to Coronas. And all it's going to take is one time for me to mess up. I can't help you guys.
By the way, I can't get past this part until I got to go back and say this. He's an asshole, but there's three assholes of the Marvel Universe. There's him. This used to be. No, excuse me, four. It's him, Xavier, Reed Richards, and Doctor Strange. But they're different now, but they used to be.
Oh, I would still say
Xavier's Tony, still a dick.
Tony's still a dick. He's dead. He's a dead dick.
But he's like they make him really jokey.
Strange. Still a dick. Strange really thinks he knows everything, you know?
Strange is still a dick.
We haven't met Reed, obviously, yet. Every Reed I've seen, an idiot. And depending on which Xavier, Patrick Stewart, yeah, he's kind of a dick.
No, I mean in the comics.
Oh, I see. We're still talking comics. Yeah, I was like, movie-wise?
And based on Hickman's comics, yeah, he's a dick.
Xavier's always been a dick.
He knows his shit.
In a way, he's always been like, hey, guys, mutants first. And he'd be like, but... me above you guys. So. I'm the fucking professor on here. So,
then we get, is this the last issue?
Our last half of this and then beginning of the last issue.
So we finally get to this camp where we're chasing Bucky down. We get in the crosshairs of the old good Winter Soldier looking at Falcon, looking at Captain.
End of issue, blam.
Bam. Who is dead?
That's the closer, right?
That's closer to that one.
Of that issue.
Can you imagine reading this in issues? You'd be like, fuck, he's dead.
I know. Yeah. I would love to read this. I mean, I guess I technically read in issues, but it'd be nice not to binge read and be like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah, have like the break and the cliffhanger or whatever between each issue.
A month, 3 months, who knows?
So this is a fun use of, so now we're in the last issue, issue 14. A fun use that you don't see very often from Falcon is that Falcon can talk to birds.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was going to say, so that's different, too. I was going to ask you about that, because in the movies, he has, like, that drone thing that he talks to, Redbird.
Yep.
Redwing? Redwing. And in this, he just talks to birds.
Yep, he just talks.
Why don't they do that in the movies?
He just talks to the
bird. He can talk to birds.
I think they want to make it believable.
It's just like
weird.
Hey, in Aquaman, he talks to the fishes still.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
They can't talk to birds? Instead of making the little Redwing, why don't they make it a fucking like condor or something like that? Would a condor be a good bird to have as your
No, he'd still probably want a red-tailed hawk. That's usually what he, I think, uses.
Yeah,
but hawk.
Condor's bigger.
Yeah, but condors wouldn't make any sense.
Why not? They can't attack you?
Too big.
What if a condor attacked you? You wouldn't be scared?
You know, you should get him a harpy eagle.
Harpy eagle, okay.
Huge fucking eagle. Looks like a human when it's coming at you.
Those are the ones that pick up those sheep, right?
No, that's a golden eagle from the Himalayas. A harpy eagle is from
which one's bigger?
South America. They take out monkeys from the trees.
Harpy or the other one? Which one's bigger? Golden.
That is harpy eagle.
Oh, they take monkeys.
Yeah, they got talons the size of grizzly bear claws.
Damn. So I sent a harpy after you. You're scared?
Fuck yeah.
What about a condor?
No.
You can take the condor.
Here, go get that dead thing I just threw over there for you. There's a dead cat. Go get it.
I heard that bears, since we're talking about bears, you brought it for a second.
I brought up my grizzly bear.
I heard that grizzly bears have ADHD. So if you're running away from one for any reason, like you can throw something and they'll get distracted for a second so you can get away. I'm gonna try it next time. I'm gonna go provoke a bear.
Maybe throw some food.
I do it, and then actually, it's me and Alex running away, and I throw him. Oh, he got distracted. It is true.
Well, the bear will start eating him, so you'll have. Oh shit! Makes you think of the Revenant.
Or in Red Dead, that happened to me a couple times.
Oh yeah.
Do you see in Red Dead they actually have that a dead guy below a bear?
Huh. Please explain that sentence again.
Apparently, there is a Easter egg of The Revenant where there's a guy whose face was mauled off by a bear.
Oh, really?
And the bear's dead on top of the guy.
Oh, no. Oh interesting.
I have video. I should send it to you sometime of me playing Red Dead, and there's a fucking grizzly coming towards me, and I'm like, And I try to shoot, and I go, fuck, I gotta reload. Like, I'm trying to reload, and he takes me down. He's fucking wallowing my ass, and I'm almost dead. I pull my knife at the last second. I
stab him.
And he dies, yeah. I get out.
Most of the time when I play Red Dead, the first one, I put out bait, and then I sit on a rock where nothing can get me, and then I throw hatchets and stuff.
So wait, was that Easter egg in Red Dead 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Go back to the harpy.
So anyway.
What is it? No, Red Tail. What kind
Red,
of
Red Wing is Red, Red Tail Hawk?
This is just bird he calls.
So this is a random bird. It looks. I don't even know if it's raptor. Pigeon?
Why couldn't it be his bird?
I don't. But I didn't
find him his bird.
The
I mean,
thanks, Whiplash. Bed.
What if anyways, what so, if a bunch of pigeons? Would you be scared of that if like 50 pigeons came at you?
Yeah. Do you know what they're carrying? Rabies.
All that poop would come down. You'd be like,
that's what I mean. I go fuck this harpy. Fuck all that. 50 pigeons coming at you. And they're going to suicide bomb you, and all the guts will go over you, because you said they got rabies, right? So it goes really good stuff.
Good. Yeah. Anyways, the bird does recon.
Anyway, so the bird just I guess you're right. Does recon, tells Falcon where he's sitting at. And it was weird for me to read that no way did I miss when Winter Soldier shoots the branch. Like, it seemed like a bullseye type of thing. And I guess he is a sharpshooter.
Yeah,
he's the man shot. Shoots everything.
But he's they knew the angle he was shooting from, so that's why they were able to like fucking play with him.
So then you get Captain throws that mighty shield right at Winter Soldier, knocks him off his perch. He's running away.
Can we go back to the bird for a second?
Yes.
I got a question. So the bird does surveillance for him, and then the bird tells him what's going on. How does the bird have context? He doesn't know anything about the human world. What's he going to say?
Hey, man, this is magic.
He probably goes, it is in stupid building right there. Okay.
Chirp, chirp, corner.
Maybe in this one, it's Falcon can see through his eyes.
Batman right there.
Yeah, right there.
Batman in sight.
There's dude with gun. Shoot at you.
Hey, don't stand in front of tree.
Jump really high, which is weird, because in all honesty, I think Winter Soldier's got both eyes open. He shouldn't have any issue seeing that Falcon flew straight up when he shoots the gun. Now I'm questioning it.
Who knows?
Anyway, so Captain throws the mighty shield, knocks him off his perch, chasing him through the building. Oh, now we're getting the recap of the bird telling us what was going on again. Captain's fighting all these people. Falcon's doing some ass kicking. Then he's mouthing off to people when
and
shown.
Shield shows up, so yeah. Falcon, Shield, Sharon Carter, all them are fighting all the soldiers, but then the real
good fight
meat of this is Bucky and Cap.
By the way, they show up by doing a light jog in. They're like, hey guys, we were just jogging over there, we heard something.
Yeah, we heard two gunshots. Why we would come check it out.
The only thing is I wish that they wouldn't have jumped back between, no offense, no one gives a shit about the fight between everybody else now that they showed up. This is what we want to see.
Right,
blocking some punches,
and that's what they use in the Winter Soldier movie, is him punching the shield. Yep. So that's cool. And it just went really quick. It just went really quick, and then like the cosmic cube part was cool, but it was just like a MacGuffin. You know, it's just like, ha, I'll just break it, and then actually I get to control it and disappear.
It's nice to see how, but like they made him fairly evenly strength. And I mean, they're evenly strength in the movie. But this even scene more where the knife that Bucky has and goes to stab the shield just shatters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just how strong that shield really is. And when he backhands or punches Captain in the face, Winter Soldier goes, that shot should have killed you.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I guess better luck next time.
Right.
Or whatever snarky thing Captain says. So then when Captain's like, I'm not going to fight you anymore, opens up his arms, shield's on his side, Winter Soldier's pointing the gun. Bye-bye, motherfucker. He's like, do it. Shoot me.
See, uncharted territory for me would be beyond this issue, because like when Bucky disappears, he goes back to the fort where he was trained. He just is sitting there crying, like, poor me.
Boo-hoo. Oh,
boo, I remember everything. Boo.
Except for when I get blown off that plane.
My family and friends still love me. Boo.
Oh, and then one. Everyone else is dead.
How smart are birds?
Depends on what bird.
The falcon.
Pretty smart. I mean, you can train him.
That's true. Maybe he knows more. I was just thinking about that the whole time. And then,
see, that's the only thing is that it does make you wonder if that was actually Red Wing, then it'd make sense.
It could
that
be.
That they would know how to chat to each other.
You'd have
Red
to.
Wing's up there. I was just thinking about Aquaman. If he sends like a school of fish to go get recon and it's like a tuna, is he going to report back being like, blah, blah, blah,
blah. He just understands their mind because they can read each other's minds. They speak with their minds.
But they don't speak the same language.
Yeah, he does.
If you speak fish, you understand fish.
Now, the interesting thing is that he can talk to whales who are not fish. I mean, they send echolocation at that point.
If he talks to, like, a beluga.
It's a whale.
Yeah. That's smart enough to know what the fuck's going
on. Echolocation. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But he sends a school of tuna.
Tuna are pretty smart.
I mean, maybe they're like hive. Maybe they're just
sardines.
Like, they're like, it's
yeah, they're
it's,
stupid.
It's
right.
thing.
Anyway,
thing.
So you're right. So he goes off to his camp and sits there. And then we learn, like you were saying earlier, Alexander, the whole time, Red Skull's been in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we are together, stuck.
And so like, I feel like their whole plan was to get the Cosmic Cube to separate. How come the cube wasn't charged very well in the beginning, but at the end it was like mega charged?
Because they were doing work on it.
Yeah, those things they were trying.
Oh, right, the machine.
Yeah, that's what was
the powered up on that.
So that's what the whole thing, the whole reason why Bucky was doing all that shit was to power it up. So
got it.
By the way, Red Skull, if he talks and has a deep voice, like Red Skull, he looks kind of threatening, right? His face looks kind of scary. But if he looked like that and he talked like Skeletor does, hey, I'm Red Skull, baby. Then you're like, what the fuck's with this guy? So his voice really sells that kind
in
of
in Russia, you know, so. I kill you.
Overall, what do you think? I mean, Alex, you said you read before the movie. Alex saw the movie first. I read this years ago. I actually read the part that comes out next to this first, and then I came back and read this.
Really?
So I
what's that collection?
Is that one
Death
behind
of Captain
it?
America? No, it's like Civil War and then Death of Captain America.
So. Oh, okay.
There's a couple more issues. Actually, there's one trade in between there.
Okay.
I forget which one that is, but
then this came out in 2010, and Civil War came out in 2006.
No, this is later. This collection, because I got recollected.
Oh, I see.
It used to be Out of Time, which sold. There were two
okay.
trades, but. Like, so Civil War was all supposed to end with the death of Captain America, but they took it out and actually made it happen in Captain 25 is where death happened. So this the last issue here, 16?
14.
So there is like two trades in between.
Hmm. I see what you're saying.
But I think most of it's Civil War stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah, so I read Civil War and I read the death of Captain America and I read all of that. That's when I started reading monthly for Captain. And then I was like, one day I was like, let me go back and read Winter Soldier. So, nice. I actually do think, I do like Winter Soldier a lot, but I think from Death of Captain America on, it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed this book. Unfortunately for me, I'm sided towards, I enjoyed the movie actually more than I enjoyed the book. And I think a part of it is I enjoyed the story that they were telling me in the movie.
But you can see where it's all taken from. Like you can the source material.
But I can see the Winter Soldier stuff.
This is more comic booky.
Yeah.
Than the movie. The movie feels more like a political action movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Like a Jack Ryan kind of
Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
See, I like this, and I just think like I'd have to read that next part to like really enjoy this. Because like I would say I'm at like 60% enjoyment. Like I think it's pretty good, but I think I need the other half of this story. Because you can tell this isn't a complete story all on its own. So it's like I need more.
Yeah.
To kind of like wrap everything
up. I mean, it's a long story because you got the death of Captain America, and then you have Bucky as Cap. And then you have Cap coming back, and then you have him versus Red Skull.
How does Captain come back?
Oh!
Get to read and find out.
You want
to
know?
Yeah.
Spoilers for anybody who actually does want to read. You can skip forward. We'll say a minute. So Death of Captain America happens, and during death, Crossbones shoots him and kills him with a sniper rifle. Wow, because he gives up. And then it's a war runner, he gave up, and so they're walking him up to the courthouse.
Yep.
And he gets shot. Later, it's revealed that actually they brainwash Sharon, and Crossbones actually didn't shoot and kill him. Sharon actually shoots him with a pistol, and that's how he dies. But it's not a regular gun. It's a time gun. And so he goes back in time, and he's lost in time. So they find him in time and like bring him back.
Does he get to see Peggy again?
I don't think so. Huh. I don't remember, though. It's been a while since I read that.
Huh.
So he's like lost in time.
I like that less than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. It would have been cooler than
I was going to say, this cap is more comic booky.
Yeah.
You got Red Skull, you got Cosmic Cube, you got
ridiculousness.
You got MODOK soldiers and shit. Right. So I actually do like, it's a nice little in between. So at the time, especially when I was reading this, Ed Brubaker was like, oh, this is more serious kind of comic booky. It's still kind of like, now when you think of the movies, that's 100% serious. And this is more still kind of little fun with the MODOK shit. So,
MODOK shit.
God, He's the best.
And the body switching and all that jazz.
What do you think MODOK shows up in the movies? And when can they start giving them my money? Because I'm not going to go see another movie until they put him in there. That's why I didn't go see Spider-Man, and he wasn't in it.
Hmm.
Which movie did he show up in?
Oh, I would see him showing up in...
Fantastic Four, Marvel. Maybe?
Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel's going to have the brood. She's going to get binary at the end of that one. When we meet Kang the Conqueror, he'll be like, MODOK, go torture some humans.
Fantastic Four, because I remember in the old animated show, he was their villain sometimes, or MODOK was.
Yeah, but I think MODOK was just one of those guys who just showed up to piss off everybody, because X-Men fight him at one point. There you go.
That'd be a good one.
At the beginning, he just shows up and he's fighting him. What's it called? Thor what?
Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder and MODOK at the bottom. You guys missed it. I saw it.
Well, that's what if you read in between the love and thunder, there's MODOK spelled out. Well,
love MODOK Thunder.
Yeah, because you love MODOK and he has thunder thighs, so he's a big guy. So
he doesn't have thunder thighs, he's got a giant face and like little pipsqueak legs that are breaking his weight.
The skull, I mean, it looks deceiving because his head's huge.
I suppose.
But those thighs, if you actually saw them straight up, pretty big.
Nice.
I really enjoy this. It was a nice little trip back into
back in time.
I started being like, oh yeah, I remember when I read this, Civil War. Like, it kind of brought me back to like when I first started getting into.
See, I've read Civil War, but I definitely want to check out
Death.
Go Beyond. Go Death Cat America.
I got Death right behind you. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that it?
I don't
know. All the way to the right. What is that?
Death the Captain.
Okay. Very enjoyable stuff, guys. Cap's one of my favorites. No any different here. Steve Epting's aren't throughout. Michael Lark looks fantastic. Edwin Baker, I think the writing is still great. It's a nice little story. And also you like to see Ed's work pay off because The Winter Soldier is his creation. And then they made that into a movie. And it's one of the biggest. He's getting his own TV show and everything. So it's nice that Ed made something. I mean, technically he was doing it while he worked at Marvel. So they own it. But Ed knows that he created him. So that's nice to know. So good stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Announce the next title here. Here's the thing with this title. I originally was like, well, let's keep going and read that. But then I was like, well, Civil War's in between. It's kind of weird to just like jump past that. And I want to read Civil War because I've read that like a million times. I feel like I don't know if we would get anything out of the discussion. And then I thought it was like, hey, you know what? Let's get away from Captain for a second. I feel like we did Cap, we did Marvels. Mm-hmm. And what was that was your book. And mine was Criminal. So we kind of did two Marvel things in a row. So it kind of felt weird just keep going to Marvel train. And so I'm trying to think of what to do. And I was thinking, you know what, maybe Watchmen. But then I was like, because that show's coming out this month.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be nice. But then 3 months from now, who knows where that discussion is. And then I thought maybe something Halloween-ish. And there's this Batman comic that it's... There's a Batman comic that I found. It's like 70s Batman, and it's like kind of horror. It has Scarecrow, and I thought about that. And then I was like, no, because we're reviewing in January. It doesn't make sense. Mm. So I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And like I said, I was reading this, and it brought me back to the old days, baby. Captain America. And I was like, well, the very, very first thing that got me on board was Green Lantern, and it was Rebirth. But I think we all read Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't?
I haven't. I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
I have your copy. I'm probably going to bring it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I got your Kingdom Come here somewhere, so traded. And then I was like, no, the Rebirth is... I love Rebirth, but it's a lot of exposition to reset Green Lantern. Right. So I think if we brought it here and talked about it, all we're going to talk about is a lot of not exciting stuff. I mean, it's good. But also, a lot of it is like, hey, I got to fix this. I got to fix this, this, and this. So then I thought, you know what we're going to do? And I don't know if you guys will like this choice, but I thought, let's jump ahead like 2-3 trades into Green Lantern to something I read. And I was like, this is the thing that, because I enjoyed the Rebirth. And then afterwards, it was like No Fear Wanted or something like that. And then it's like this. And you don't need to read anything else, those in between, to actually understand this, but this is the thing that sold me, and this is the thing that made me start getting monthly comics in general. Overall, this is the thing that got me into comic books. So I am picking Green Lantern, the Sinestro Corps War, the first part here. Which one is this here? Does it say what issue is in here? It is not, but listen to the show next week. I'll figure out what it is. But the first
on the inside flap.
But, okay, well, let me see.
Or on the copyright page?
It just says Green Lantern Secret War Volume 1, so whatever that is. Hmm. Here we go. Originally published as single magazine form in Green Lantern number 21 through 23, Green Lantern Corps 14 and 15, and the Green Lantern Secret Special. So there you go. It's 6 issues. So there we go.
All right.
It's Secret War.
Woo.
And like I said, I was thinking about it. I actually looked through here and I kind of remember what's starting here. You could just start here. So that's fine. And then if you're interested in this, go back and read the beginning. It starts at Rebirth. And this goes on to from this to Blackest Night into Brightest Day and stuff like that. So this is actually a nice point if you enjoy this to start getting into like DC, especially at the time, Geoff Johns DC history.
Oh, Geoff Johns is one of the best writers out there.
That's what I thought too. I was like, Geoff, I've been enjoying him with Doomsday Clock and with Shazam. I go, let's go back to Geoff. Mm-hmm. Let's see the good Geoff.
I'm looking to see if I can find it on Hoopla so I can read it.
I believe it's on there. I think I saw it on there.
Maybe.
Did you type Green Lantern in?
Yes. I did put Green Lantern.
He's like, oh, I typed in...
Green Arrow. Why won't you show up? Oh, there actually is a Green Arrow, though.
I typed in Pigeons. So.
Pigeons.
There we go. That's the next book there. Make sure 605-215-1849 gives a shout out there. Anchor.fm. Subscribe to the show there. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Actually, I don't think we're on Google Podcasts anymore. I don't know. I have to get back to them. them I give up on. Just because we didn't... Nobody really uses that, so nobody really asked me about that. Stitcher Radio, though, and Spotify, you can get it there. Go back and listen to our episode at SuperCon, the Wrath of Khan episode. We talked to Empire Comic Press, Dylan Jacobson, and John Bivens about their work. It's a very nice little look into what's going on there with those creators. And look forward to next week when we get back to our normal show, where we're going to review some books. Some good stuff coming out. So we're going to talk about we'll talk about Xavier, that asshole.
Probably. I'm sure he'll show up.
Wednesday Comics. My name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Keep turning those pages.